نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformed, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
And now, listen to the Supreme Grand Master, Naya Malachi Zodok L.
Every time the world reaches a point of consciousness, spiritual consciousness, they have to come up with some type of tactic to make you go, oh,
okay.
The hip-hop generation stepped in, popped out this doctrine, this philosophy, this music, and it frightened everybody. And it frightened everybody, including them. But some of that chaos is coming to my awareness. These kids are now starting to talk. But there's an awareness amongst all of them.
This new doctrine is able to get these kids to stop killing each other.
Because when we meet here on stage today, if you're here for 4 days, you're going to see all of these here. Groups that would normally be rivaling against each other. That would hate each other. But no
you can tell I'm breaking up, right? Am I breaking up? Yeah. All right, give me like a few seconds to get rid of some of this going on around. All right, I'll start it over. Here we go.
Every time the world reaches a point of consciousness, spiritual consciousness, they have to come up with some type of tactic to make you go, oh, okay. The hip-hop generation stepped in, popped out this doctrine, this philosophy, this music, and it frightened everybody. It frightened everybody, including them. But out of that chaos is coming a certain amount of awareness. These kids are now starting to talk about the conditions. It's taking place. The death of Tupac is a symbol to death. You follow? They're starting to realize some of these people are taking this business a little too serious. The whole hip-hop thing is a business. We're making money. We're playing games. We're not real games. You want to meet the real gangsters, go to Sicily. You mean real gangsters? Those niggas ain't no real gangsters. Those guys don't think they're real gangsters out there. So now we're in our hands from a couple of kids, a couple of fathers, a couple of sons, a couple of brothers that lost their lives. And it's gotten quiet. But there's an awareness amongst all of them. This new doctrine is able to get these kids to stop killing each other. Because when we meet here on Savior Day, if you're here for 4 days, you're going to see all of these here. Groups that would normally be rivaling against each other. They would hate each other. For no reason other than they wear a different color head rag, I think they say. Or one does this. Which is not my reptilian symbol. And the other one's doing this. I don't know what they're doing. But they'll all be here on Savior's Day together as a family. So somebody said, you know Milwaukee was there? Yeah. They don't drink. Wait, I take that back. We do drink. We do water, soda, you know, wine, beer, but we don't get drunk.
Right.
Correct? We don't smoke any kind of drugs. Any kind of drugs. You understand that? We're not polygamous. We're not Muslim. We don't have hundreds of wives. If you still have hundreds of wives, then the next hand's off, you got to cut it out. We're not having it anymore. And I say, if men can have more than one wife, then women can have more than one husband. No more. You follow me? No more women walking behind men, shut up and you shut up. When a man says shut up, say why, and then prepare to go. But stand up. It's time to stand up. This is what we need. Now, what's starting to happen is we appeal to the younger generation for some reason. The following day, we open our doors by opening my mind and heart to reach out to the 5% and say, let me take your book that you have been sitting on since 1960-something and doing nothing with, and the kids are only going from little bits of rhetoric. So they don't have a full understanding of what's in those so-called words of 20 or plus of them. So being you can't afford to do it, or just don't want to do it, let me put the book in one cover so every 5% or God, they got 8 sets now. Every one of them have a copy of it. So maybe they can see that we're not that different than they are. But as long as they got a couple of fanatical leaders who want to control their congregation, this is one of our biggest problems, control of the congregation. They're afraid that their followers might come to me. If I wanted their followers to come over to me and not be 5%, I wouldn't put up a 5% flag. I'm saying, if you're 5%, that's people even used to still be a part of the Milwaukee family. We ain't into it. We're not getting caught up on the religious practice.
Right.
But nobody can confirm religion. Nobody. You cannot prove to me that there's a God. You can go over a whole bunch of philosophical bull crap. But I said, prove me that I don't believe in God because he created me. That's it? Yeah. Evolution beats the hell out of that. Quantum physics beats the hell out of evolution and instant creation. And I'm telling you something, they can't do it. And that's the problem. Because they can't do it, there's an emotional trap. The moment I can't verify or justify what I believe in, they can't want to do a thing like it. I regress back to an elephant, or a gorilla, or a bull, or a bull. You know what I'm saying? That's why we went out there with so many questions at people. But I did not go out there with questions before I did 25 years of questioning. I did 25 years of standing up in front of people in New York City, opened the doors and said, come in and ask me anything you want to prove what I'm saying. All I want to do is change the conditions. Because I see the baby. Mm-hmm. Sometimes mom's baby record was deep. You know what I'm saying? When I kid, changed the world, that was deep. Now, with that record, if you can tell that's a very heavy record. That's all I was concerned. So I did that for the 5%. You with me? The subtotal comes down to most people don't know what they're talking about. The first criteria for dealing with a Muslim is, do you speak Arabic? If not, then stop using Arabic. If you don't speak the language of the Quran, then give it up. The problem then, that doesn't mean you understand it, because I know many Muslims who speak Arabic and don't understand the Quran. Otherwise, there wouldn't be so many Muslims back.
If they all understood just by verse reciting them from Arabic, then all of them would have the same belief. There wouldn't be so many Sunni, Shia, Ahmadiyya, Baha'i, and on and on and on. Women.
Right.
So we, as a people, are vulnerable because we're like a baby mind. And because we're riding off of, I've been abused. That's what we use, I've been abused. The white man abused me. So we're looking for any way to get even. Like the dog. So we like to join anything, try to tell them off. Black power. and hope that Adam White goes, oh, that's terrible. You know, Black power, Adam White goes, oh, that's black power. I mean, they're not as involved in the black power thing as you are. People on there, they don't care about, you know, black power, black, right on. Adam White goes like this. What's the big deal? But let's see what you're doing.
Right.
If you feel that the system, is failing you, what do you do? Are you setting up a school system? Columbus did not discover America. You can't discover something somebody's already on. First of all, lucky didn't come America,
you wouldn't
fit it. When they got here, we were already here for all that. Mao Zedong, long before, more. All right. So I'm not teaching that to my son. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to teach my son your life. You need those that make you feel good. I understand that. You're supposed to make yourself feel good to your kids. But because you went over to Africa and stole a large amount of the world here, the problem is, you have an obligation to teach us about us if you say we're free. If I'm not free, then you don't have to, then you continue to be seated. George Washington was the first president when that's just not a fact.
Come on.
16 presidents before George, and 9 of them were black.
That's right.
The man who put George Washington in office, name is John Hanson. Look it up. And it'll tell you right in your dictionary, John Hanson, a black president. A Moor.
I'll
give you. I'm writing a book on it.
Oh,
I'll
give you.
But it's not mystical. You can go to any computer and bring up John Hanson, and he'll tell you about one of 9 black presidents. And they'll give you Native Americans. And they'll also give you Frenchmen who came over here and married Washita women, a black tribe, and had children, and those children were governors. There's a woman right now, recognized by the President of the United States as an owner by deed of the land from Louisiana to Canada.
Hey,
recognized right now. They ain't telling you about her. They killed her husband. They killed her father. They killed all her children. But she worked her way up, right, and went and got the and retrieved the record. Went all the way to France and traced the record down to deed and took the information back. And prove it, and the government, the President of the United States, has issued her the right to be a separate country in this country right now. She has her own license plate, her own driver's license. They don't have to pay any tax, and it's not exclusively for blacks. Don't start fighting before the world will be. It's for anybody who is willing to join in that race. And it's going on right now. Sheikh Daoud, a Moroccan, a Moor, who I studied under, correct?
Yes,
also got the same right from the Emancipation Proclamation to claim all those who followed him in his thing called the Islamic Mission of America, right out of car years ago, as Moor, thus not subject to Jim Crow law, because George Washington, in a letter, the Sultan of Morocco said, I know there are some Moors that have mixed in with the slaves. And all of them that want to claim sovereignty is free and sovereign, not that slave. You understand that? You have in America about 40 slaves. We're not getting all together in Africa. And while your nose is a little too long,
and your eyes might be a little too slanted. Not getting nothing to do with melanin color. Wondering why you don't look like anybody you've ever seen in any of the parts of Africa. It's simply because you're not an African. You're an indigenous person from one of the Native American tribes here. You follow what I'm saying? You belong to the Shoshone, or the Iroquois, the Washita, the Tunis, the original Cherokee, the Trail of Tears. You are on 75% of the Trail of Tears. You. This is a fact. This is documented. And believe me, you know if I tell you about it, I'm going to put it in a book. And I'm going to lay that crap. You understand what I'm saying? So when you're wondering why you don't feel so African, it's because you're not an African. Remember, the word Africa is an insult.
Yeah.
Our land extended all the way from California down to Chile, all the way over to the Persian Gulf. Nod was on the other side of the Persian Gulf, the land of Nod, where the so-called character in the Bible came, was afraid to go outside of our land, the land of Moab, and told his father, I'm afraid in your Bible, what are they going to do? Those who find me out there are going to kill me, meaning in your Bible, in Genesis. If Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel were the only four people on the planet 4,004 years ago by Jehovah's Witnesses and 6,000 years ago by Muslims, if they were the only people on the planet and Cain killed Abel, leaving Adam, Eve, and then who was Cain telling his father he was afraid was going to kill him when he got to the land of God? Who was he talking about? There was nobody on the planet. No, the whole world to us was that land. North America was called Atlant. South America was called Mexico. And Africa was called Sudan, where they get the word Aswan. The illusion which causes confusion is to tell people that they're not black, don't use the title black. When in actuality, when you translate the word more or else, you get the word black. When you translate the word push, you get the word black. When you translate even the word Ethiopia from Egyptos, you get burnt face and Egypt. When you take the word Ham and translate it Ham, you get the word black. Mithraim, who moved into Egypt, a descendant from Noah, from Ham, black. But in the records that were kept in Latin, we have another word for black. Negative. Acts chapter 13 verse 1 of your Bible has the word nigger. Acts 13:1, write it down. Don't believe me. Nigger. It says nigger and it means black. 13:1. You got a Bible open to read it. In ancient Latin language, where all the history was being recorded, nigger was identified with the color. Moreno was the state. They had to stop calling you Moreno because he identified with that state that God was in before life. But the word Meta only dealt with the color of this offense and did not deal with supreme balance. So as you trace your story in his story, you will find the word more in Maurice. Saint Maurice. You ever heard of Saint Maurice? A Moor. Who refused to murder Germans. So the Irish declared him a saint and he wasn't even Catholic. Constitution of the country. You know what I'm saying? A Iroquois. Because the Iroquois gave the Constitution to whom? Thomas Paine. Who then rewrote it. And then they took it and changed it. And took from 13 to 20 out and threw it away. And then added 20 little words, never had it signed. And if you go seek out from 13 to 20 of the Constitution, what you can find, the one that was signed, you find out it says, no more can be held slave. No more. And then it says, who are more? The indigenous people of this land. Dark people, they say, the women of the They took it out and tried to hide it. But Philadelphia kept it on record. Say, this is why they got to come up with a hell of a, those guys are involved in this stuff. There's this cult thing with this, and he tells them about extraterrestrials coming. We better go out there and try to stop that. They're not interested in my belief in extraterrestrials. They believe more than I do in extraterrestrials. I just spent $20-something million making independent day. Give me $20 million if I make a movie about blowing up the White House. They should go to the person. Go to the person who made the movie Independence Day and ask them, why do you want to blow up the White House? Because whoever conceived the thought, the story conceived the thought. They should be saying this fool, why would you make a movie? But we have enough problem with dumb arrows already without you putting more thoughts in the air to make it look possible and show them how to do it. And if you're into our computers and you can reverse our computers and use them against us, then everybody knows what hackers are.
Right.
So they should be taking the man who wrote the movie and sit down with him, the psychiatrist, and say, Mr. President, why do you want to blow up the White House? Well, it's only a movie. Start again. Why do you want to kill the president? You know what I'm saying? Well, go now. One more time. Until we just get up there. Anybody who spends millions of dollars making a movie about nothing, especially if there's not a market for it yet. And they don't know if there was going to be a good market. It happened to be a good market. But they didn't know that when they invested in it. So they believe more in UFOs than I do. And this is right about coming right behind, thank you. Men in Black. Which is supposed to be left over from Hitler's Secret Service group. There was a group called Men in Black. Hitler's Secret Service group from Antarctica. When America went over there and got beat up. People don't know this. It's a whole long story. You understand what I mean? I'm not just saying, why don't they understand me? This is Jamaican. You understand why they don't like me? They don't like me to tell y'all where to go find facts. Now, when you get a certain amount of consciousness, you don't need racism no more. You don't have to look at people and say, I don't like you because they're lighter than me. You can see that the Most High God, Allah, didn't plan for that to happen. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made that borderline so thin between us. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying we should all go out married. Because if Caucasian people marry black people on a large scale, that is the end of their race. That's not racism. That's fact. I'm not supporting the KKK concept of separation by history. That's what I mean. I mean if we are to stay as beautiful of a garden as we are, we live in a garden with all kinds of flowers, then people better stop with crossbreeding. Because if you keep crossbreeding, the only people going to be left on the planet are us. Because we were there before they got there. Even if you say you were Muslim, you were here before they got here. We were here. And it's important that you don't destroy a race of people. Because every living thing is a part of the chain of life. We all play a part in it. And as species die, the ecology changes. And man is dying. Gaia, Mother Nature, is angry with us. Very angry. Flood, tornado, earthquake, hurricane, Mother Nature, or God, or whatever you want to say, is angry with humanity for the stupid things we do to each other and her. You follow that? Our lack of communication with her. Our refusal to link ourselves back in as a part of the soil and the earth. Mother Nature's mad. And food is going bad.
Right.
And people's minds are going bad.
Yeah.
We're in a bad state today. So of course, they don't need what happens every 25,000 years one of us is born. The Hindus call us avatars. I was really referring to it as an Amanubi avatar.
Mm.
The word Aman means that you're a tree of rock, of sun, person. Coming in as a sun cycle for the apple. Amanubi avatar, as they say, as Amanubi avatar. We are born to rectify, to re-enlighten you. The alignment comes when we come. The planet shifts when we come. They know that we're here. Oh, that's the balance. Evil and good is balance. You cannot have a world of all good. Because it will conceive evil in another form. Evil will become anyone who disagrees or uncooperative. You follow that? Defect would be evil. Name would be evil. Blindness would be evil. If all was supposed to be good, but it's not, it's supposed to be balanced. And religion teaches everything got to be good. And it creates an imbalance in the universe. And it's the root of all the hate and racism and war and separation and destroying everything. And when that happens, it's a time for your history to be renewed. And it's time for you to become aware of the divine in you. You follow? An awakening takes place that you are one of the gods. That Ra sent Osiris to this planet and his wife Isis to this planet. And they live here amongst the nature or amongst nature in harmony. And then he sent Seth. And Seth was Osiris' brother. And Seth was jealous of Osiris and Isis. And wanted Isis or Uset for himself. So he put on a big banquet at the party of Osiris or Osir. And he made a beautiful sarcophagus, made to fit the size of Osiris only. And he had his men, his warriors, which they call fallen angels, came with him, get and said, "Pop the sarcophagus, I want to see if it fits my loving brother." You follow? And he put him in the sarcophagus and he sealed it. And he took him out and turned into 14 pots. These are not true stories. These are metaphors. These are folk tales of actual influence. See, when you go back to the story and you say, well, where did Ra come from? He'll say, from the primal egg, the black egg. The black egg is represented by the black dot. The black dot is represented by the soul. They said three principles to soul in ancient Egypt. The Ka, the Ba, and the Ar. And those three principles are the principles of the universe. Person, places, and things. The only time person, places, and things cross is when a divine principle steps in. And when human beings, who, men, rock, and God, who, the creative force of will, the God men, in ancient Egypt always comes back as rock. And when who men become conscious of the God, then the principle of persons, places, and things are broken by the principle now and then. When then becomes now, and then becomes now. When a people or a being completes his growth or his evolution from what he is supposed to be to what he is, then he is reached the point of now. You with me? If he looks at his past and everything that brought him to now, he will look over his left shoulder and see it as then. If he intends to perfect the dot now, then from here on there'll be no more changes. Acquisition, inquisitiveness are gone. I now know. So the next thing is always going to be the same as right now. I don't want to sound stupid here. As I come to life and I hear the Jehovah's Witness, that was back then. And they talk to me about God and Jesus Christ and the Jehovah's Witness Bible, and I'm very interested. And I sit down with some Jehovah's Witness, they come in my house, and I'm convinced right now, I'm evil and good. Think about it. You cannot have a world of all good. Because people from anyone that disagrees or uncooperative. Otherwise, they wouldn't make a point. I'm not saying you should all go out married. Because if Caucasian people marry black people on a large scale, that is their right. I'm not supporting the KKK concept of separated by history. That's what I mean. I mean, if we are to stay as beautiful of a garden as we are, we look at the garden, see all kinds of flowers, then people better stop this crossbreeding. So if you keep crossbreeding, the only people going to be left on the planet is us. Because we were there before it like that. Even if you say we were still here before we got it. And it's important that you don't destroy and rape the people. Because every living thing is a part of the chain of life. We all play a part in it. And as species die, the ecology changes. And man is dying. Gaia, Mother Nature, is angry with us. Very angry. Flood, tornado, earthquake, hurricane. Mother Nature, or God, or whatever you want to say, is angry with humanity for the stupid things we do to each other and her. You follow that? Our lack of communication with her. Our refusal to link ourselves back in as a part of the soil and the spirit. Mother Nature's mad. And food is going bad. And people's minds are going bad. We're in a bad state today. So of course, they don't need what happens every 25,000 years one of us is born. The Hindus call us avatars. I was referring to it as an Amunubi Rakata. The word Amun means that you're a priest of rock, a sun person, coming in as a sun cycle for the apple. Amunubi Rakata, which they say as Amunubi Rakata. We are born to rectify, to re-enlighten you. The alignment comes when we come. The planet shifts when we come. They know that we're here. Oh, that's the balance. Evil and good is balance. You cannot have a world of all good. Because it will conceive evil in another form. Evil will become anyone that disagrees or uncooperative. You follow that? Defect will be evil. maimed would be evil. Blindness would be evil if all was supposed to be good, but it's not. It's supposed to be balanced. And religion teaches everything got to be good. And it creates an imbalance in the universe. And it's the root of all the hate and racism and war and separation and destroying everything. And when that happens, it's a time for your history to be renewed. It's a time for you to become aware of the divine in you. You follow? An awakening takes place that you are one of God. That Ra sent Osiris to this planet and his wife Isis to this planet. And they lived there amongst the nature or amongst nature in harmony. And then he sent Seth. And Seth was Osiris' brother. And Seth was jealous of Osiris and Isis. And wanted Isis or Uset for himself. So he put on a big banquet at the party of Osiris or Uthir. And he made a beautiful sarcophagus made to fit the size of Osiris only. And he had his men, his warriors, which they call fallen angels, came with him, get and said, "Top the sarcophagus, I want to see if it fits my loving brother." And he put him in the sarcophagus and he sealed it. And he took him out, fed him into 14. These are not true stories. These are metaphors. These are folk tales of actual influence. See, when you go back to forest and you say, well, where did Ra come from? They'll say, from the primordial egg, the black egg. The black egg is represented by the black god. The black god is represented by a soul. They said three principles to soul in ancient Egypt. The Ka, the Ba, and the Ark. And those three principles are the principles of the universe. Person, places, and things. The only time person, places, and things cross is when a divine principle steps in. And when human beings, who, men, Ra, the God, who, the creative force of will, the God, men, in ancient Egypt always comes back as Ra. And when Hu Min becomes conscious of the God, then the principle of persons, places, and things are broken by the principle now and then. When then becomes now, and then becomes now. When a people or a being completes his growth or his evolution from what he is supposed to be to what he is, then he is reached the point of now. With me? If he looks at his past and everything that brought him to now, he will look over his left shoulder and see it as then. If he intends to perfect the dot now, then from here on there'll be no more changes. Acquisition, inquisitiveness are gone. I now know. So this is going to be the same as right now. I want something to you. As I come to life and I hear the whole witness. That was back then. And they talked to me about God and Jesus Christ and the Jehovah's Witness Bible. I'm very interested. And I sit down with some Jehovah's Witness. They come in my house and I'm convinced this is the truth. However, if I walk a little further and I run into a Seventh-day Adventist, and they say, well, the Jehovah's Witness got a lot of truth. However, they forget about the Shabbat, they don't eat pork, and so. And I'll show you the Bible, it says only pork, and keep the Shabbat, and what was then important to me is no longer important to me now. I now have a new now. Do we ever reach the end of now?
No.
Wrong. We do reach the end of now. When now, then, and then stops. Because there are no more Jehovah's Witnesses or Seventh Day Adventists or Black people or whatever to change my mind. I now know. And you can never change me. I'm not going to be converted to no doubt. I now know. I don't want to call it television. I'm going to call it a kind of awareness because I did the research. I wasn't indoctrinated. I was brainwashed. But brainwashed is one of those games or play on words to make you think that it's wrong to be brainwashed. But if I was a smoker and a drinker and a druggie and I had all in my brain, I wish you would wash my brain so I could get a cleaner brain. This is where evil is made look good and good is made look evil when they take words and they trick them and say, you are brainwashed. He says, thank you. Because if I wash this shirt, it'll be clean. If I wash my brain, all that garbage you taught me to go in there. And once I'm in the state of now, because I have done my own research and I have confirmed everything and I know there's nothing coming better. In other words, I have found myself. I'm comfortable with what I am. My biggest fear and problem is how much I intimidate others because I appear to be so content with what I am. They seem to be bothered. They say, well, I'm a Nawapi. Yes. The person believes in sound, right, reason. What do you mean by that? We believe that you shouldn't believe. You should investigate. You believe that you must believe to get through the pearly gate. You follow that? We don't believe anything. Call me an atheist. Call me a black devil. Call me a Satanist. Call me all the things you need to keep you happy. But if you say atheist, I'm going to say atheos. I'm going to say A in Greek again, Theos, or Greek deity. I'm not Greek, I'm not an atheist. Satan, 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 Hebrew word Satan, what does it mean? Serpent person. I'm not a serpent person. You know who talks people? You're a phonetic. I'm not Benedict. Etymology. You know, you like to play word games. Words are not games. Games are created for words. Words are not created for games. And this is called right knowledge. It bothers people. It bothers people because all you're saying to them is, don't say anything to me that you don't intend to prove. In the forum of that, I don't mean I'm not going to go play golf with tennis and have fun. We can laugh and joke and kick it and pop and do all that and fantasize about life. That feels good in a sense. But when you start talking about my soul, heaven, hell, God, nature, universe, I'm going to ask you questions. And if you cannot answer the question, I'm just not going to accept you. In that field, not in the chessboard, you know, the chess game, I mean, that's a, but if you start asking, you start talking about religion, you say, I'm Reverend whatever, and I came to teach you that Jesus is your personal savior, I'm going to say, well, okay. So, I don't want to be rude, but what does personal mean? you want me to get out of the search before this is passed, I'll leave. But if you do that, and I caught it, I just want to know, what does personal mean? Does it mean mine? So do I need you to talk to me for me? So they'll tell you, a reverend will tell you, quick, God spoke to my heart. And God told me to tell you. Yeah, wait, before you go any further, man, being you know God personally, he's my personal savior, you give him my telephone number so I can talk to him myself. You know what happens?
They get mad.
They consider that disrespectful.
They can feel that arrogance. But because I simply want to know.
Right.
You tell me Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I'm saying, even the sins I committed after he died. But I know when I was a kid, I could do all kinds of stuff in my little brother's book, feeling this stuff, him in hand. Is that sin? What is the sin thing? What's the criteria for sin? What's the sign? God is sitting on the book with those things of sin. Just stand for a story again. You know, those are wicked gifts and those are bad, those are gifts. Man, I don't need that no more. I need to become conscious of who and what I am.
Right.
If I go back to your Bible, and I go back to Genesis, and I read in the Bible because this is what you believe, it tells me I'm a living soul. It says I breathe into man the breath of life, and man became
a living soul.
So now, Rev, lecture me on living soul. Before we go any further about who saved me, why he came, who down the forces and resurrection, tell me about what is your knowledge of living soul. First of all, you need Hebrew, of course, because living soul is in Hebrew. So you have to get a Hebrew reference. I can't use an English. King James, King James wasn't Hebrew. So you can tell me what living soul means, but that's what God says I am. And if you can't, could you get a reverend up there in the tent?
No.
Then I'm ready to throw an opportunity. They're going to be jealous. So, the almighty, all-powerful being in the universe, of which you are a part of, and all religions admit you, says that all of you must know. And that the only way that we can stop the ignorance is that all of you must start asking questions. And you are going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. They're going to revile you and say all manners of evil against you falsely. Not for my name's sake, but for the Heavenly Father's name's
sake.
You understand me? But we have to stop going into bend. We've got to establish now. This is what we are. And that can only be done by the retrieval of facts. By going out and using facts. Don't tell me I am an African. Or just a Native American. Which tribe of Native American? And where does they come from? You mean don't just give me the package. Give me the meat in the package. And if you can't, keep the package because you're only confused anymore. And or give me the direction for which I can present the fact. That's all. And that's the day and time you're in. And because I've done my best. My advisor of the Bible, let me translate it for you from Greek. Quran, let me translate it for you from Arabic. Torah, let me give it to you from the written Hebrew. Now make sure if you got one, where I translated, I put the word next to it, so if you don't believe me, you can go to a Strong's, go into a dictionary, and see if that's the same word. Just to see that, yeah, I'm not lying. But it gives you another working when you're dealing with people, and they say, well, in the Bible, you say, what Bible? King James, I'm not interested in King James, but he doesn't even give me a chance. He doesn't even have a comparison, and I can check the words out. But I can investigate what he said. I'm stuck with what he said. I don't need that. I try to cover every subject, and this is why they can grab one of the subjects that I can't cover, extraterrestrials, all the extraterrestrials that I miss, and try to ride the subject. And say, you see, he teaches about extraterrestrials, so it must be affiliated with some suicide cult in California. Make it easy. When you only give one type of knowledge, they have to pinpoint. But when you're a person like me, you try to cover everything, there's so many ways they can play that game.
And now, The True Light, featuring Ex-Sayyid El-Imam Isa El-Hadi El-Mahdi.
What about Minister Falcon? What's he doing now? Is he teaching or what?
Right now, he's not a teacher. He's
He's not a teacher. He's a lecturer. There's a big difference between a teacher and a lecturer. Minister Louis Farrakhan just takes things that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was teaching and lectures about them. Yeah? And there's a difference when you sit down and set up an Arabic school, in a Quranic school, in a scripture school, and you start to teach people something. That's totally different than going to a college forum, standing up and talking about economics and how black people got to work together and how much money we got to raise to do this. That's not teaching, that's lecturing. So Minister Farrakhan is a very good lecturer. He's just not a teacher. He was a student of a good teacher, Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Because I listened to him talk, and after an hour of listening to him talk, I realized that he didn't say anything. All he was doing was elaborating on things that happened.
I think, like, he's a nice brother, he's a good speaker, he means well, but he's just not a teacher. Black people now want to be taught. They don't want to be just spoken to. They want to learn something now. They want to clear the smoke.
So what is his purpose?
You have to ask him that. You can't ask me what his Minister Farrakhan service. You have to go to him and ask him that.
You're saying you can't serve two masters. What I see, I'm in that predicament. Here I am. I work for this man. But in reality, what I'm trying to do is, you know, save up, get myself something. Because, like you say, time's going to come and he's going to look at me and get tired of seeing me reading something that goes totally against his beliefs. He's going to get tired of me and say, okay, that's enough.
Don't spare that, because if that was not the case, why did Jesus talk in parables? Jesus talked in parables because there was times when he just had to say things that he only wanted certain people to understand. So he compromised at times. See, even the Messiah himself had to compromise. And he talked in parables because he could have just as well talked straight out. Like I have a quote here. Let me see. Let's take Matthew's, right? And turn to the 22nd chapter.
What verse?
If I don't give you a verse, what does that mean?
Okay.
You should know me by now, Paul. He's here.
And Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables.
Here it is. Jesus is getting ready to give some people a parable. Now watch. Go ahead.
And say, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, cast them into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.
I stop. A very common quote in that, the 14th verse. Many are called and few are chosen. Every Christian uses that quote. You heard that quote before? Now, there's a whole big story that preceded that from 22:1 all the way to 22:14. Now, if I turn around and ask somebody, what is Jesus talking about here? What is this parable about? What would you say?
I have to read it over and...
Well, let's read it again. Let's see if we can find out. What parable is he teaching here? Go ahead.
And Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son.
What does that mean?
I understand what he's saying now. He's saying that basically, in plain words, he's saying, hey, I'm asking you to come, and you're saying...
Yeah, I'll answer it eventually.
Right.
The point I'm trying to make is, did Jesus compromise as far as he spoke in parables here for certain people? You know who he was speaking for? He was speaking for people here who understood the scripture. Anybody who was not one of his followers or not one of the Pharisees or Sanhedrin who didn't study the scripture will never
Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my Creator. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels.
Notice he acknowledges the dress of a bride and a bridegroom as a symbol of salvation, as a symbol of purity, righteousness, right? And in this parable, the whole thing is that they speak of the kingdom. What does he say? The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. The kingdom of heaven is what's mentioned in the books of Revelation 21 and 22, coming down out of heaven like a bride adorned for Christ. You see? They're speaking about the dress of a bride, first of all. What do brides wear?
White.
Long white robes. Even in America where they became Christians, they wear this. Long white robes and a face veil. This is the traditional dress of a bride in America, correct? And the husband wears a white tuxedo, a typical dress. So the bridegroom here, mentioned in 22, this whole chapter is all talking about how people do not want to put on their white robes and how they will be thrust into, even though they're going to come on the last day, they're going to be thrust into darkness. Now, read it again and you'll see it. He likened, first of all, the kingdom of heaven to this king. So that's the kingdom of heaven they talk about. If you don't read the first two, like a lot of Christian preachers, and start at 3, 4, and 5, you'll think they're talking about a real king. When they're not, they're talking about a kingdom of heaven. Now go ahead. And he sent forth his servants and called them that were bidden to the wedding.
And they would not come.
And they didn't come. You're all being told to come home, put on your white, and you're not coming. People who are worthy of it are not coming. Go ahead.
And again, he sent forth other servants, a saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fartlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come on to the marriage.
And you'll start to think this is really a marriage. If you don't realize what verse 2 is talking about, it's a symbolic of their heaven. It's a symbolic of the kingdom of heaven. And it's symbolic of people who were supposed to be worthy, who missed it the first time. The first time was when Honorable Elijah Muhammad came and beckoned them to come into the kingdom of heaven, and they rejected. Now he's saying again, here we are again calling you to come into the kingdom of heaven. Watch it happen. Number 5.
But they made light of it.
Y'all make a joke out of coming home and putting on your wife. One day I'll be in my wife. I have to find more confirmation. We show y'all through the scriptures over and over again about wife, about your jalebi, about your dress of the bride. You say one day, you make light of it. And?
And went their ways.
Go ahead.
One to his farm, another to his merchandise.
That's your job you're talking about. I got to take care of myself and my family. I got to finish school. I got to go do this. I'm going to go get my own land and do my own thing. Why should I move in there? I can get my own land and build my own farm and do my own. They tell you about that. Go ahead.
And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them.
Go ahead.
But when the king heard of thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies.
Now remember, the king is who? The king is symbolic of heaven. The white man, now when you go out and work amongst them, they are called the remnant. And they do what? That's number 6.
Okay. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them.
This is what they'll do to you. They will kill you. They're all killing us. They're killing Vietnam. They're killing Iran. They're killing Iraq. They're killing Syria. They're killing Sudan. They killed in Ethiopia. They killed to Ghana. They're killing Nigeria. They're killing South Africa. They kill us. We still worship and praise them and work for them. Still make them rich. What else did he say?
But when the king heard thereof...
And remember, the king is heaven. That's what number 2 teaches. The king is heaven. Go ahead.
He was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers.
That's the angels who come forth from heaven. Mentioned in Revelation 22 again. See, because they're talking about the kingdom. Remember, see I'm saying how when you read the Bible, if you don't follow, you can miss what they're talking about. If you don't read number 2, you don't know that they're really talking about heaven and angels. You think they're talking about men armies and how these armies kill. They killed the wicked. Go ahead.
And burned up their city.
And it tells you we're no longer destroy the world by water, but moreover by?
Fire.
Fire. They're talking about judgment day here. That the angels are going to come down from heaven with fire and destroy the wicked city of Babylon. Go ahead.
Then says he to his servants, the wedding is ready. But they which were bidden were not worthy.
Then the angels say, okay, so now that we've stopped the devil, come on into the tabernacle of the Most High. Get ready for the wedding.
And what do y'all say?
Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage.
So I take off my white robe, I become Dr. York, and I go into the street to try to reach people. And try to bring them home to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because y'all are coming to me, listening, and still not coming home. Then you complain about that. Why is he Dr. York? Why ain't you in the mosque? One time I was out in a club, and a guy walked up to me and said, aren't you Imam Isa? I said, yes. He said, why are you in this club? I said, I'm here with you. What am I in here for? What are you in here for? I'm in here for you. He said, oh. Walked with a real dumb look on his face. He just said, oh, oh. You know that sound Negroes make to make you confused? Oh, oh. Go ahead.
So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found.
Our brothers in the trains and the buses and the schools walking the streets. They're doing everything to go out to get you. Go ahead.
Both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a certain man, saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment.
You know, people sitting in that room right now, know you're supposed to have on white. You understand? You know it. You know right from wrong now. All right, what does it say about him?
And he says unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?
Why aren't y'all dressed right when y'all know it's right? I got sisters I see sitting out there that's been here, coming in for years. Still ain't putting on their white. Still ain't putting on their veil. Why? This is what the heavenly is talking about. Why? Go ahead.
And he was speechless.
There's no answer when we ask you that, right? Well, I'm not ready yet. Because I have people say, Imam, I don't have a jalabiya. I said, outside, they tell them, I said, give them a jalabiya. They wear it twice, then they take the jalabiya off. Say, y'all full of it. Go ahead.
Then says the king to the servants.
Remember, the king is heaven. Keep that in mind now. Go ahead.
Bind him hand and foot. And take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness.
That's what's going to happen. This is heaven rejecting people because they reject the preparation for the supper of the wedding of the Lamb. Right?
There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Doesn't that sound like Matthew 24 again?
No.
Yes?
For many are called, but few are chosen.
Now you understand? What that little phrase, many are called and few are chosen, many people get it turned on to the light, but they don't want to take off their traditional clothes and garb themselves in righteousness. The first thing they told Muhammad is rise up and purify your garments. You had to stop wearing the garbs of the Meccans and put on white. And whenever they know so funny, when the so-called Arabs made a movie called Muhammad, you ever heard that movie, Muhammad Rasulullah? They always showed you his followers dressed in all white throughout the movie. All the people that opposed them from the different tribes of the Quraysh and everything had on multicolors. Now they got scholars from different parts of the Arab world to come to do the script for that movie, Muhammad Rasulullah. And a lot of Muslims rejected the movie because they said they were going to depict an image of Rasulullah. They were so caught up on such tribute things, they didn't see that when they all got together on a subject, they came out with the followers of Muhammad all wore long white robes. Now you go to Saudi Arabia, they got on gray jubba or jalabiya. They got on green ones. Egypt, they got on plaid ones. Sudan, the sisters are wearing yellows and orange and speckles. But when they all came together on that movie, they all had enough sense to see that back in Muhammad's time, they wore white. Then they say they follow the example of Muhammad, and you go to a Sunni Muslim mosque for prayer, and everybody got on different colors. So when they cast you into triple darkness on the day of judgment, and you won't be allowed into the kingdom, turn to Revelation. Now, what chapter were we just reading?
22 in Matthew.
Now, that chapter 22 of Matthew is mathematically. Go to 21 of Revelation, because 22 is the end of the world. That's the last book of Revelation. Go ahead, what do you read? I've read it 1,000 times. It tells you about a new heaven coming down.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Allah, out of heaven.
That's what Matthew 22 is talking about, this kingdom. Go ahead.
Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
See the same words? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Go to Isaiah 62:5. It'll talk about the 144,000 and what they must be inside this new kingdom of heaven.
For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy Creator rejoice over thee.
See how the scriptures all link right back in?
No.
We told you that the 144,000 are going to have to be virgins, not defiled by the harlot, have not drunk the wrath of the fornications of the harlot. We got to raise those kids that way. You can't do that outside. You're a young man with a happy business, and if things are going right, what happens when your wife has kids and you got them out in the world, and they get tempted by the delicacies of this harlot of the Book of 18? And you've corrupted their life because you had an opportunity to make your children pure. Stop thinking so much about yourselves and what you want and start thinking about the future of our world. Because it's in your hands. The Arabs can't do nothing. They want to modernize. They want more modern cars and technology in Arabia and Sudan and Egypt. They don't want Islam. They don't want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't want to worship. They want discotheques and new movies and modern hotels and all kinds of things like that. They have turned away from the path of Allah. It's in your hands to revive it. And you're messing around stalling while time is running out. Read on.
Back of Revelations?
Yes, 21. Mm-hmm. It should be at verse 3.
Right. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Allah is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Allah himself shall be with them and be their Creator. And Allah shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Creator, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven veils, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.
See, it goes right back to the same thing. It keeps repeating itself. So it tells you what the marriage is about, but yet you'll come to the marriage, you'll come to the classes, and still refuse to put on your wife. Come unprepared to the wedding. Knowing better. Jump from that to Revelation 22, the end of the world.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life.
In Islam, we call this Kawthar. Multiple times in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala speaks about a country in paradise under which beneath flows rivers. So the Quran begins to explain these rivers when the Bible stops here. See, it is the end of the Bible. And that's how you know the Quran was a continuation, because in the Quran, whenever it describes paradise, it picks up this philosophy. It picks up this doctrine, this fact. And makes it clear. Go ahead.
Clear as crystal.
The crystal, go ahead.
Proceeding out of the throne of Allah.
That's right out the Quran.
And of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yield her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of Allah and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Creator Allah giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord of the Holy Prophet, the Lord the Creator of the Holy Prophets, sent his angel to show unto his servants the things.
Please correct, stop right there. Not correct. I want to point out something. Make note that in this last chapter of Revelation, they're talking about the Lamb in number 1. And then by the time they get down to number 6, they say, his holy prophets. Right?
No.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, none of these men were prophets. It's not talking about what they came out to teach. They're talking about what the prophets, Muhammad, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, David, Solomon, Lot, with these men, Jacob, Ishmael, what they were teaching. Repeat that one again.
And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord, our creator of the holy prophets, sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come, shortly be done.
Now stop and go back to Revelation chapter 1 so we can find out about this statement. After the prophethood is finished, the last thing to come to man will be an angel.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which the Lord gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass.
You see, that's the exact same thing what's in the first book of the Revelation. It's the exact same verse that's in the last book of the Revelation. To show man that nothing has been taken away from this. Nothing has been removed from this. This final revelation for Jesus. Go ahead.
And
number 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecies of this book. You see? Not the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not of Corinthians and Galatians. But of this book, the book of Revelation. And then you know they do it, number 7, the first line. Does anybody have a Bible with two colors in it? You know the red and black lettering? Does anybody in there have it?
Anybody have a King James Version?
You notice that the first thing, behold, I come quickly, is in red. And they say that all those things said in red comes from Christ, the Messiah, Jesus. Right?
Uh-huh.
Right there then, when he said, behold, I come quickly, he's talking. Then he said, blessed is he that keepeth the saying of what?
Of this book.
Not of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Galatians, and Hebrews, all the books that they made up after that. Jesus is telling people to keep the prophecies of the book of Revelations, the Injil, his book. How do you know it's his book? Revelation chapter 1 tells you it's his book. Read it. This is the revelation of Jesus the Messiah, which the Lord gave unto him to show unto his people or his servants things which must shortly come to pass, right? And sent it in.
Signified it by his angel.
Right here, repeats it. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true, and the sustainer Allah of the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Confirming it. Then he said, behold, I come quickly. Why? Because Islam believes that in the latter day, the Messiah Jesus would return. They acknowledge it throughout their hadith. If you ask any Muslim from any part of the world, they say yes. Jesus is going to return, the Messiah, the end of the world. First the Mahdi would come, and then the Messiah. Well, the Mahdi, Muhammad Ahmed, has already come into Sudan in the 18th century, 1845 to 1888. He's already been here. And Islam and the Islamic world knows the Messiah is coming. Well, Jesus said right there, I'll come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecies of this book. Not of any other book there. Only the Injil does the Quran mention. It doesn't mention nothing about the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go ahead, what else?
And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things.
Now, not Jesus. John was supposed to believe. This is John, one of Jesus' disciples. He was supposed to believe that no one should be worshipped but Jesus, according to them, right?
No.
Yet, he fell at the angel's feet to worship. That could not have been a part of their doctrine back then, to worship Jesus. That couldn't have been otherwise. John, receiving the revelation for Jesus, was so disobedient that he fell at the feet of an angel to worship him? He didn't know he couldn't do that? He was told only to worship Jesus? No way, you can't get to heaven except by Jesus? He didn't know the difference between Jesus and his angel? Of course he did. This angel walked him through the revelation and showed him Jesus in his glory. So he knew the difference, but he fell down to worship an angel. So that was not a part of Christian doctrine back then. All that doctrine you got today is Paul's stuff from the fake Christ, Bar Jesus, that they worship. Go ahead.
Then says he unto me, see thou do it not.
Meaning, don't worship me.
For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this.
He said that there's an angel telling him that I am a human being and of the lineage of the prophets. Now, that's a strange angel, isn't it? Most angels come straight from heaven. This angel tells this man, John, that I am of the prophets. I am from the family line too. Don't worship me. I know the incident happened. I saw it. Go ahead.
And of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship Allah.
Which book?
Revelation.
Oh, I thought you meant Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No, this is a single. Don't say to keep the prophecy of those books. Go ahead.
And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecies of this book.
Don't hide the meaning of this book, the book of Revelation. He keeps telling you the last book, but what book to follow? Go ahead.
For the time is at hand.
Okay.
He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still.
And I showed you back in Isaiah, righteousness, putting on that garb. Putting on that garb of righteousness. That's what it says. Go ahead.
And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the
now,
tree of life.
Now, here Jesus is saying, he was here in the beginning and he'll be here in the end. But then he ends up by saying in 14, not blessed are they that do my commandments.
Blessed are they that do his commandments.
His commandments. He's still giving honor to the Heavenly Father, even in the last book of Revelation. He didn't say, blessed are they who do my will. Blessed are they who praise me. Blessed are they who get to heaven by me. He said, blessed are they that do his. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Heavenly Father's commandments. What commandments? The commandments of the scriptures. Go ahead.
That they may have right to the tree of life. And may enter in through the gate.
Now what's so important about the tree of life? Go back to Genesis. We'll see what's so important about the tree of life. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Verse 21.
Unto Adam also and to his wife did Allah make coats of skins and clothed them.
The importance of clothes and having their bodies covered again is here. And then what he said?
And Allah said, behold, the man has become as one of us.
Now that the man has violated the laws of heaven and betook of the fruit, he has become like one of us, what?
To know good and evil.
He knows right and wrong.
And now, at least he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.
So what is the tree of life a symbol of?
Life everlasting.
Revelation 22:14 tells you that tree of life will give you eternal life. You'll live forever. Because man has now got willpower and he is doing evil, put him out of his garden so he doesn't be taken of this tree and live forever. Go all the way back to Revelation 22:14 and let's see what they say.
Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life.
So now in being obedient to the commandments and following the prophecies of this book, what is he giving us back? He's giving
eternal
us back
life.
Right to the tree of life. Giving us back right to eternal life, to live forever, the Bible teaches. Go ahead.
And many enter in through the gates into the city.
What city?
Christus.
The tabernacle of the Most High. He didn't say, sit there and wait for something to come out of heaven. He told you to walk into these gates. Come inside the city. Go ahead.
For without are dogs.
That's right.
And sorcerers.
You listen hard enough, you hear barks in this neighborhood. Sorcerers just mean devil worship and demonology, the pentagram, all kind of satanic worship. If you don't believe me, get off in West Forth and walk around the village one day. You'll see devil worshipers, proud of it. All your rock groups and hot metal groups and, go ahead.
And whoremongers and murderers and idolaters. And whosoever loveth...
Poor Catholics don't know they're idol worshippers, you know. The average Mohammedan Muslim doesn't know they're an idol worshiper. They don't know they're worshiping Muhammad. They just added his name in every prayer and every dua and everything they do. They don't know they're worshiping him. They're the idolers. They're going to hell, too. They just call themselves Muslims. Go ahead.
And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches.
And that's what we're here. Not in the synagogues no more. But the synagogues was over in Judea. Not over there no more. We're over here. In the book of St. John, chapter 16, verse 1, he says that his disciples back then are going to be put out of the synagogue. Right?
No.
But over here, Jesus said, I sent my angel to testify in the churches. I'm coming to you Christian people who are inside churches. is, worshiping statues and idols and demons and thinking you're worshiping the Heavenly Father. I'm reaching in the churches to pull you out. What does it say?
I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star.
That's because they say that he had prevailed because no one was worthy to open the seal. That what they say. The root of David prevailed to open and loose the seal thereof. That matches Daniel's also. Go ahead.
And the spirit and the bride say, come.
What are we talking about again? A bride and the dress of 144,000, the cloak that the Lord put on him back in Genesis, the wearing of the white, covering the body up, the woman with the veil like she's prepared for the wedding, getting ready for the new city to come down on him. What did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? Say the first couple of verses of the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father who art in heaven, holy is thy name.
Go ahead.
Thy kingdom come, thy
will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where?
On earth.
He said the kingdom of heaven was going to come down to earth for you. And he's telling you how to look when it comes. Be prepared, he said. Be adorned like a bride. Oh, how does a bride dress?
Long white dress, white veil.
That's the sin law over the whole world. Ain't got nothing to do with religion. The Buddhists do that. Go ahead.
And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, Allah shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
Now, that's what John said, who was guided by the angel, Michael, right up to the churches of the present day. They're talking about what Paul said, and what Paul said, and what Paul said, and they're adding to the book. They're adding to this book. Jesus said, get your knowledge out of this book, out of the book of Revelations about him. His book, the book, not the books, not the disciples, the prophets, the prophecies. He said he did not come to change the law of Moses, but to fulfill it. Not alter it, not modernize it, not change it. Men are altering it. You got these fake preachers and teachers, these antichrists, who are going around in Jesus' name, like he said they were, preaching in his name. You got Muslims going out preaching in Muhammad's name, and they're the biggest demons in the world. Cigarette smoking, they're not dressed in the garb of a bride. Go ahead.
And an iniquity man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Allah shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written.
If they take your name out of the book of life, which is a link to the tree of life, you do not have eternal life. When death comes to you, you will die. You will not be transformed into a spiritual being. You will not be made back into the form of an angel. Go ahead.
He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen.
That's the end of the book. Now they add a little chapter. So even so, come, Lord. Now this is not Jesus, see? Because Jesus just ended and said, Amen. And then someone did exactly what he said don't do. They said, well, come on, Lord. And that's what preachers do. They quote the Bible, then they add their opinion. The Bible just says, Amen. Then they said, even so, come, Lord Jesus.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Then they put another Amen.
They added another verse.
Two Amens in one book. Jesus said, don't add to the book. Don't add to the prophecy. And in the end of the same book, what they do?
Add another verse.
So, all those men, I've been cut away from the tree of life. Don't be looking for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in heaven because you're not going to see them. And Paul is in hell already, so you ain't got to worry about him.
We now have for your listening pleasure a complete set of the True Light tapes. There are now more than 24 hours of answers to the questions that have boggled the minds of humanity. For more than 20 years, the eminent master, Imam Isa, has answered all questions put before him. From skeptics to true believers, Jews, Christians, Muslims, all have increased their understanding of the words of the Most High by listening to the True Light.
Where can I get the True Light tape?
You can get the True Light from your local Ansar representative that you see dressed in white, or come down to the original Tents of Kedar, 719 Bushwick Avenue in Brooklyn, New York.
I still go to church, and I've asked my minister many questions from the True Light tape that he cannot answer. I've listened to Jimmy Swaggart and other ministers, but I find that Elimam Issa is the only one who can explain the book of Revelation.
I've been a Jehovah's Witness since I was a child, and I thought I had a monopoly on the truth. But I listened to the True Light tapes on the radio and have come to understand the truth about the life of Jesus. I listen to your broadcast every week, and as a result of the True Light tapes, I am now a follower of Imam Issa.
Yes, the True Light tapes do make a difference. The True Light can change your life. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And now, let us return to our broadcast.
Now, what's the next chapter of this book?
The Quran.
I mean, what's the next chapter? Revelation. Is there Revelation 23 here?
No.
So the book ended, right?
Right.
And in the last chapter, he told us what book to rely on, which is the book, this prophecy, the prophet, not my disciples, not my apostles, this book, this prophecy, the prophecy. But men, right after this, made their own books, their own prophets, their own disciples, their own apostles, and have deceived the whole world in the name of Jesus Christ. They went out into the world and deceived everybody using Christ's name. And then when that comforter did come, who Jesus said he would send, which is Muhammad, they didn't accept the Ahmed. Jesus said, I will send a comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. He said, even the Holy Spirit. Look at St. John chapter 15, the last verse. Because people just be talking. Read it.
15 or 16?
The last verse in 15.
Last verse in 15. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning.
Now go back and read 26. But when the Comforter is come,
okay,
whom I will send unto you from the Father, what's the word?
Even the Spirit of Truth.
Even. The Comforter is not the Holy Spirit. He will be accompanied by the Holy Spirit. Even the Holy Spirit. Or even the Spirit of Truth, which proceeded from the Father. So just like when Jesus was baptized and the Spirit proceeded out of heaven and came down upon him and he became anointed as a Savior to the world, thus this other Comforter will also have to say in the Quran in the Surah Laylatul Qadr. What does it teach us? Tanazzalu. The angels came down. Malaikati waruhu. All of the angels came down from heaven that night. Ain't that what it teaches in the night of power of the Quran? So and it says, and Ar-Ruhu was there. Who is Ar-Ruhu? The Holy Spirit. Ruhu Qudus, they call it. So Muhammad himself was the Ahmed, or the Comforter. And he too had the Holy Spirit come down to him on the 19th night of the month of Ramadan. And he was filled of the Holy Spirit. This is the Comforter that Jesus said. Read it again. But when the Comforter
is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me.
And Muhammad, wallahi, in the Quran, Jesus is mentioned more than any other prophet. Muslims don't say that, you know. I don't think most of them even know it. Jesus is called the Word of Allah. He's called the Spirit of Allah. He's called the Messiah from Allah. He spoke from the cradle. He'll speak in youth and in old age. He performed miracles. He turned a bird into life, prepared a table of food from nothing. He was born a mother who conceived through the Holy Spirit, Blessed Mother Mary. Jesus is the only prophet in the whole Quran that's glorified that much. The Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorifies Jesus, glorifies his holy name. One place they call him Al-Masiha. Other place they call him Isa, the Savior. They got his name glorified, the Messiah, the Savior. The Quran is glorifying these holy names like the prophecy said.
And then it says, lastly what? And ye also shall bear witness.
Stop. What did Muhammad come and tell us to take? Shahada. What do we say? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness. The first thing every Muslim says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it. Isn't that what it says right there?
Uh-huh.
And ye shall bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning. You know that Jesus is the Messiah. You know he is the Savior. Muslims try to play dumb to that. Then if you read number 16 of St. John's, which y'all can do on your own, it'll reiterate the whole story of coming up the Comforter.
When you said we should wear white, now, in my case, if I come to work in white, I have no more job. Plain and simple. The minute I show up, you're going to say go.
Well, let's see what Matthew chapter 6 says about that. It's going to speak about people worrying about what they're going to eat and what they're going to drink and from wherewith are they going to be clothed. Go ahead. You know what I'm going to do, you right?
Yeah, you want me to get that one, pick up from there where it speaks to that? Or?
Yeah, go to one where it speaks to that.
Okay. Bismillah, one rain. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye.
See what you just said? If you start worrying about how you're going to feed yourself, that's where your heart's going to be. At your job, at your work. That's where 24 of the same Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one. He'll hold on to one of his, he'll hold on to something, like his job. And
despise the other.
And the next thing the white man tell you is you can't have off Friday to come to Juma, a Friday assembly. That's the next thing. You can't be off on Friday. And the Quran tells you that you must leave all work and come to the prayer on Friday. Then you have a choice between what Allah commands you to do and what the devil. And the Quran tells you, the devil said, I'm going to get them. I'm going to lie away because I'm going to make evil fair seeming to them. And I'm going to get all of them, illal mukhlasina, except the mukhlasina, except the pure ones. Everybody else, I'm going to get. Because I'm going to tempt them and they're going to fall. And they get us. He'll make us offers of money, wealth, success, all kind of things. Go ahead on.
The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light.
Stop looking from the two physical eyes and start looking from that one third eye, the single eye, the spiritual eye. When you start looking from the spiritual eye, then your body is full of the pure light. As long as you're looking from those physical eyes, you're only going to see things that you can see, hear, taste, smell, and feel. Material wealth, material gain, a better paint job, a better car, a better house, better looking clothes. If you look from the spiritual eye, the third eye, the single eye, your light will be on the inside. The body will become the temple, and you will furnish it with beautiful things from the scriptures. Go ahead.
But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Allah and mammon.
Mammon means wealth. Go ahead.
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life.
Don't think about your life.
What ye shall eat.
Where your food's going to come from.
Or what ye shall drink.
Where you going to get your drink from?
Nor yet for your body.
Right.
What ye should put on.
Don't worry about your clothes. How you going to get clothes?
Is not the life more than meat?
Isn't life eternal more than the food it's eating?
And the body than raiment?
And the purified body more than the garbs that you wear?
Behold, the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them.
You don't see no birds planting no food and going out with plows and digging them up, do you? But the heavenly Father provides for them. Go ahead.
Are you not much better than they?
Because didn't he create you as a guardian over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that creepeth upon earth? Didn't the Bible say that?
No.
He provides for them, but man doesn't want to be provided for by him. Go ahead.
Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?
And even if you think you can do something to help yourself, or you can change the course of nature, you can anyway.
And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin.
What is this about? I like nice yellow outfits and plaid garbs. I like beautiful colored things. Why must I wear bland white? That's what people think. Why? I mean, in Africa, we wore loud colors and pretty flowers. He said, what are you worried about? I gave the colors to the lilies of the field. What about your raiment? Better put on white, stop jiving. 29.
And yet, I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these.
Even Solomon, as rich as he was, and I don't care how many movies they depict him as wearing a bunch of colors, Solomon wore a plain white robe and was one of the richest men in the whole world. You understand that? But he didn't have on a bunch of plaids and golds. He put on a robe for the priest. He put on a dress for the temple, but he wore white. 30.
Wherefore, if a law so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?
He says he lets roses blossom and make them beautiful, makes grass grow and make them beautiful just for a seasonal thing. You're not seasonal. Wouldn't, if he loved them, wouldn't he even love you? Go ahead.
Therefore,
but he calls us little, he says,
O ye
of
little
faith. Because we don't put our faith in Allah or Heavenly Father. We put our faith in our job and in our career and in our country and our economic position and our bank accounts and all of that. That's what he says. We don't have no faith in him. We have faith in ourselves, really. Go ahead.
Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat?
Like the brother said, where y'all get your food from? Go ahead, and?
Or, what shall we drink?
Well, yo, I see there's a lot of people here. I don't know how you provide for all these people.
Or, wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek.
And if you read the Bible about people in the book of Revelation, about the tabernacle and who's in the tabernacle and who's not in the tabernacle, and it says, give me a reed and a rod to count. You know what you'll find out? It tells you right there that the people who don't want to be in the temple have given themselves to Gentiles. Then it tells you right here that the Gentiles are the ones who seek all those things. I can't live in there, man. I can't live like this. I got to have what I feel like eating. I want to eat when I want to eat. I want to go do what I feel like doing. When you talk to people who have gossip, ain't that what they say? Man, in the community, you can't do what you want to do, and you can't go home when you feel like going. Go ahead.
For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
Allah knows what we need. He'll provide for us if we can. Go ahead. He'll tell you.
But seek ye first the kingdom of Allah and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Don't start stacking money and accumulating wealth for morphs. It tells you right about some morphs and things. Stop worrying about that stuff. Enter the tabernacle, put your faith in Allah, and he'll provide for you. Everything else, he does it for every other creature. He does it for every other animal. He does it for everything he created. He provides. Man is making his own problems because he thinks he can provide for himself. Okay? All right.
You ought to answer all my questions. Thank you.
I have a question concerning Nunkar and Nakir.
Go on.
Yes, I'm a little confused about Munkar and Nakir. Mm-hmm. What are they supposed to do?
Okay, I don't have the answer to that question.
No, what do you mean, what are they supposed to do?
Okay.
I don't All understand right. what you mean. These are two angelic beings
right.
that visit men in the grave. This is from the writings of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the things that he taught, that when man passes on from this state to the next state, which is commonly referred to as death, that there be two angels that will visit them when they're in the grave and ask them questions concerning Tawheed to see whether or not they can answer them. But that's basically it. It's recorded on them.
So who makes the final judgment as to who will go to heaven and hell?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Not the angel Israel.
No, the angel Israel, or Israel is mainly the angel of death. He's the soul collector, because he was there when man's body was shaped in the garden. From the dust of the ground, when Allah blew the spirit into man, and man became a living soul, Israel was that angel used to do that. So he will be there when each soul leaves the body. He will not make the decision as to who will go into paradise and who will go into hell. He has nothing to do with whatsoever. Like in the book of Revelation, at the end of it, when John tries to bow down at the feet of the angel Michael, he says to him what? Tells him not to bow down, because I am your fellow servant in tribulations. In other words, on Yawm al-Akhir, man and angel both will stand before Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Angels are not above men in the eyes of Allah.
There's a prophet who was teaching the prophet Elijah, and this prophet was living up in the mountains and in the desert. So my question is, who was this prophet?
The prophet who was teaching Elijah.
Right.
Now you gotta get that straight, because we have Elias, Elijah. We have about five or six different men.
Elijah.
I know, but there's more than one, because Elijah taught somebody named Elias. And I'm saying, and when they translate these names, they all come out to be the same person. The prophet Elijah himself was what they refer to like a Nazarite. He belonged to the Nazarite type of doctrine, much like John the Baptist. Why John the Baptist was his second portion of the Spirit. They call him Elijah, they call him Elijah, they call him Elias. We find basically his story in the first book of Kings, right? And the second book of Kings. So that's why I say we have to know which one. There was Elijah of the tribe of Benjamin. You know about him. That's found in the First Chronicles 8:27. And in Matthew, they talk about him. So it's very different. As to which Elijah is a very touchy subject in the scripture. Believe me or not, he's one of those special prophets.
You have been listening to The True Light, sponsored by the original Tents of Kedar, located at 717 Bushwick Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. You are also invited to attend the questions and answers class every Sunday from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. in the Hall of Knowledge at 548 Hart Street in Brooklyn, New York. And now, more profound than ever before, the Pampas of Peace, offered by the master teacher and spiritual guide, Es Sayyid El Imam Isa.
That's the way we should do it. But we should never do
All right. Thank you. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على الأنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part. And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.